Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, January 22nd, 2012.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 17, and we'll finish up our series tonight, if you stay long enough, on... Just want to see if you're awake, okay? On chapter 17 of John, we're considering especially the statements that Jesus made in this prayer as to what he had done. We might call them the I have statements. And tonight we have the last one in these three verses where he makes the statement, I have sent them into the world. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus in his prayer here makes the statement, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. I don't know whether this is grammatically correct or not, but it's sort of a parallel statement. In other words, as you have done, so I have done. You did this, and I also perform the same action. I'm doing as you did. John, in his gospel, uses the word sent quite a few times. Almost 60 times, if you look it up in the concordance, John uses the word sent, usually speaking of Jesus, and Jesus is quoted in the Gospel of John as using the word about himself 40 times. That sort of calls your attention when something is used that much. In this chapter we're considering, in chapter 17 of John and in Jesus' prayer, he uses the word 6 times. Jesus makes it plain that he didn't come to this earth on a whim or as an idle bystander or a curiosity seeker or just to kind of hang out. He was sent here on purpose and with a purpose. Let's turn to John 6 and verse 38. He was sent here on purpose and with a purpose. That purpose was his Father's purpose, and he came to fulfill his Father's purpose. John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will. And once again, Jesus makes that statement several times, especially in the Gospel of John, but the will of him who sent me. Let's look briefly at the word sent before we go on. The word sent is, in the Greek, it's apostello. It's from two Greek words, apo, not apple, but apo, which means simply off or away. Away from something near, and stello, which means to set fast. So the word sent means simply set apart. Now, it's not the same. We're not talking here about sanctification, though it has the same meaning and sort of the same thought. But it's a different word. But it means set apart. It means to send out on a mission. The word apostle comes from this Greek word. And the meaning is to be sent out or away for a specific purpose. Not just sent out, but for a specific purpose. I'm going to read here Reese's translation, which brings this thought out. We translate it this way, even as you sent me off on a mission into the world, so I send them off on a mission into the world. The thought here seems to be in the same way that you sent me, in the same way I'm sending them, not necessarily the exact same mission, but with the same urgency of purpose. Let's read Matthew 15 and verse 24. To whom was Jesus sent? Jesus says, I was sent. I was sent here by my Father. Now, to whom was he sent? First of all, he was sent to his own. That is, to the nation of Israel, as he states here, Matthew 15, verse 24. A Gentile woman wanted a favor from him, but he responds this way. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Along with that, we'll read John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, to see to whom Jesus was sent. Jesus did not travel all over the world, did he? He was sent to a specific part or a specific place on earth. He didn't stray very far from that, but in that place and among those people, he accomplished what he came to do. John 1, verses 11 and 12, but he came to his own, that is, to his own nation, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Then let's turn to Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Jesus was sent to Israel, sent to the Jews, the people of Israel. He was sent to accomplish the redemption of mankind, and not just of Israel, but of all humanity. He never ministered to the Gentiles, but he came to save them, as we have here in Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Indeed, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore in the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." The setting that we have in the Bible is very limited. We find Jesus in Palestine, mostly in Galilee. He doesn't go very far. His ministry doesn't seem to extend very far. But it's obvious from Old Testament statements and from what we have in the New Testament also, that the results were very widespread. "I also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." When Jesus came, the world was in complete spiritual darkness, but God sent light, just as he did in creation. And that light was Jesus, God's salvation to the ends of the earth. We could go on concerning the fact that Jesus was sent, but the point tonight is, Jesus said, "As you sent me, I am sending them." I'm going to read here the words of a song that Sister Christy wrote. By the way, this isn't in my notes, but just throw this out to you. I don't know what your prayer life is like, who you pray for, what you pray for. But God has blessed this assembly in a lot of ways. But he's blessed this assembly with two people that write very good songs, Sister Aaron Linton and Sister Christy. I don't know how many of you know that. They've written several good songs. And while you're praying, be sure to pray for them. The Lord has given them a gift. And pray that the Lord will move upon them to write more good songs. You know, there's a lot of songs, but not all of them are good. Anyway, the name of this is "You Sent Him Out," which to me is, I'm reading this because it's a sort of a summary of what all that I could say about Jesus being sent. "You sent him out of the heavens. He walked on earth as man. You loved him so, but let him go to fulfill your own plans, to lead him to the cross so that I might be like him. You sent him out and gave him up so that I might come in. The Son went down to earth to live. He left his glory and wealth. No man took his life. It was his will. He gave it himself. Why hast thou forsaken me? He cried beneath my sin. Now enter I before thy throne in your Son's holy name. His righteousness my raiment, white, cleansed from every stain. It is finished," he cried. "The veil was rent in twain. You sent him out, and he went down so that I might come in." To me, these words summarize what I could say in several hours, if everybody'd stay, but you won't, so that's why I summarize. "As you sent me." And before we go on, just let the Holy Spirit touch your heart and mind as to what that statement means concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What he left, where he went, and what he did. Jesus sets himself forth as an example of sent ones. After his resurrection, Jesus gave the command to his disciples to go and to spread the gospel of salvation that he was sent to accomplish and to establish. Now, Jesus laid the foundation of that gospel with his death, burial, and resurrection, and we have been sent in like manner, in the same way, to carry out the gospel message till Jesus comes. Jesus only began. You and I have been given the privilege to be sent out also. Let's turn to John 20, verse 21. In John 17, of course, Jesus hadn't actually made this statement. He hadn't actually sent the disciples out. But it was certainly in his plan, and what he had determined was as though he had already done it. But here we see that he did carry it out after his resurrection. In John 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them, again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Tonight I want you to take those words to yourself, for yourself. They were spoken to the disciples, and the setting that we have here, of course, is of the disciples being sent. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I'm not reading you anything you haven't heard before, but I believe from what we have in the Word of God that at the beginning of this age there was a real urgency. I believe the disciples felt an urgency to do what Jesus sent them to do. And as this time comes to a close, as the church age comes to a close, I believe that you and I should feel that same urgency. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These are Jesus' parting words here. I'm sure that they resounded in the hearts of the disciples for a long time. What are we to do? What are we sent to do? What did God send us to do? What does Jesus say here? Go and make disciples of all the nations. How do we do that? By teaching them to observe all things. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God so loved all the world, the whole world, the entire world. He says, it's just not enough for me to send you to Israel to redeem this one nation. You will be a light to all the world, to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that the gospel came to you, wherever you were on this planet? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say go into all the world and Americanize everybody. Preach the gospel. God will do whatever change needs to be done. As far as customs are concerned, don't worry about it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That was Jesus' commission to the church for this church age. Now let's turn to Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. This is a general statement that God has brought down to us through the Word of God. There is a general call, there is a general sending, but it's also on an individual basis. And if you haven't felt that call, if you don't consider yourself to be a sent one, I want you to listen to the voice of the Spirit tonight. Those that are sent are everyone that accepts Jesus into their heart. I will deliver you God said directly to Paul, from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. Notice that Paul didn't just have a funny feeling in his toes one day, say, I'm going to go preach. No, he was sent. He came to realize that he was sent. To whom I send you, to open their eyes. What is the message that we have? It's an eye-opening message. To open their eyes, to order, in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan, that they may receive, first of all, forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is what we are sent to do. To preach the gospel message, to tell men and women that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad that we don't just stop there? It's not just salvation. That's where it begins. And we should be fervent in declaring that salvation. But there is more. Paul was sent to also give them an inheritance. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now Paul expands it to include all who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, Paul writes, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now the word all isn't there, but we'll put it in, and I don't believe that we are going to corrupt the scripture. For we are all ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you. Notice once again the urgency here. This isn't just a sort of a friendly suggestion. I mean, you know, you might kind of consider this. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have been called and sent as ambassadors. That is to act as a representative for another. That's what an ambassador is. He's a person who was born in another country and lived in another country. And then his government sends him to a foreign country. And what's he supposed to do while he's there? He's supposed to represent his native country. Jesus represented his Father. We've already gone through so many of those references where Jesus made it plain that he was just simply representing his Father here upon this earth. Now the job is ours. We represent heaven itself to a world that knows not God. I want you to look at yourselves that way tonight. Whatever you think of yourself, you're an ambassador of Christ. We are all ambassadors for Christ. Not just the disciples, not just Paul, not the preacher, the teacher, but everyone who has received Jesus Christ in their heart is an ambassador. We are sent once. Everyone that's here tonight and has accepted Jesus into your heart as Savior, you are a sent one. You have been sent. And maybe you don't realize it, but I'm sure the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. All that the world knows and understands about God, about Jesus, about heaven, is what it sees, hears, and observes in you and me. I'm sure that everybody here tonight, at least once a day, picks up your Bible and reads it. If you don't, you ought to start. But I'm sure you already do, and maybe many times a day, I don't know. But remember, the world doesn't do that. The world doesn't do that. You and I, we are the ones that represent the Lord Jesus Christ and all that is heaven. It's no small matter to be an ambassador and to represent your native country in a foreign land whose customs are different than yours. Now, maybe you've never been to a certain country, but if you lived in D.C. at least, maybe you've seen an ambassador from that country, somebody that is from that country. And you don't have any geography books, and you don't have the internet. It doesn't work. So you can't Google it, okay? But you can observe this person, and all you're going to know about that country is what you see that person do, what you hear him say, or how you see him act. That's the way it is. That's what you and I do, or at least we should be doing, remembering that we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent heaven and all that is God's. The moment that we accept Jesus into our heart, we are born from above and we become sojourners here in this life, basically with no rights. I lived in Paraguay for 20 years. I wasn't exactly an ambassador for the United States, but I was an ambassador. And I lived in Paraguay for 20 years, but I never had legal rights as a Paraguayan. That is, I couldn't participate in its legal political process. I couldn't vote. I lived there and so on. But I really had no rights. That's what we are. We're ambassadors in a foreign country. We like to stand for our rights, and we like to... Well, let's don't get into that, okay? That's why Jesus said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. It doesn't belong to you. You are a heavenly citizen. That's why I never get excited about politics. I don't care because I'm from heaven. Now, I do care, but not in a politically fanatic way, okay? Because my life goes on. If a Democrat's president or if a Republican's president, my life goes on because I'm looking to heaven, not to earth. And so I don't get excited about politics. I kind of have an opinion once in a while, but I'm from a different country. I wonder, can people tell by observing, listening, and watching us who we really are? I'm talking about our daily life, about being zealous for good works, about taking it serious who we are on a day-by-day basis. I know I spend my day in the basement, so it's okay. Brother Rainey often tells me I have a golden office down there, and I do. But it hasn't always been that way. Hasn't always been that way. I hope that in our daily life, wherever we're at, whatever we do, that people can look at us and watch us and tell who we are. I hope we don't have to have a t-shirt with some slogan on the back of it or a button of some sort on your lapel so people know who you are. I have had someone ask me if I was a Christian many, many, many times. I don't wear buttons. I don't wear ties. I don't dress good. But I do want to manifest Christ. I tried working for a while. A real job. Worked for Santa Fe Railroad in an office for a while. But I didn't get a whole lot done. Most of my time was spent helping people with their problems. And one day a guy told me, he asked me, are you a Christian or something? Now, we did have to wear a tie. So I did, at that time, I did have a tie because it was required. Thank you, Doug, for not requiring one here. Have you ever heard it's a joke, but it's sad, about the fellow that was accused of being a Christian, but he was never prosecuted because there wasn't enough evidence to convict him? It's a whole joke that I'm not going to go into. But I wonder, is there enough evidence to convict? Can people tell simply by the way we carry ourselves, by what we say, how we say it, where we go? Can people tell? Because we are ambassadors. Let's read a few more statements by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. In the same way that Jesus was sent, he was sent to a world that rejected him. He was sent to a world that was totally foreign to his entire nature and who he was. He was rejected. In like manner, we have been sent. We've been sent to the same world. Now, Jesus made provision for change, didn't he? But the world has not changed. The world is still the same, perhaps worse even, I don't know. But it's still the same world into which Jesus was sent. Ephesians 6, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Notice, once again, in our country at least, I don't know how it is in other countries, but in our in our country, ambassadors have privileges, you know, that other people, common people, don't have. You know, they can park where they want, and you can't give them a parking ticket, and they can do things, and you can't. Paul says, I'm an ambassador in chains, but it doesn't make any difference. That in it, not being delivered from it. More and more as I study the Word of God and I understand how great God is and what a deliverer He is, what a mighty deliverer Jehovah is, and yet how His power is manifested in a greater measure when those circumstances are not removed like we want them to be removed. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak as an ambassador of Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 7, once again, of Ephesians. The same man is writing, and he's still in chains. And he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by effective working of His power. When Jesus was sent, He had power. He had ability. You and I have been sent. We have power. We have ability through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Aren't you glad that you have been privileged to hear the message of God's grace? It's a message that liberates. It's a message that changes us. It's a message that keeps us humble as we realize that we are what we are, as the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God. But we can be sufficient ministers through the working of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 10 and verse 16. To whom, or to what kind of an environment did Jesus send His disciples? In Matthew 10, 16. This actually took place before what we're considering in John 17. But still, it applies. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of Christ. Now, what is to be the message of the sent ones? We're not going to go into details, but in a broad sense, what is the message of the sent ones? Once again, Jesus is our example. Let's turn to John 15, and we'll read verses 15 and 16. He is our example. He was the sent one. The Father sent Him. And what what was His message? He preached and taught what He had seen and heard. John 15, verses 15 through 16. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things, notice this, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus didn't make up anything new. What He had heard from the Father is what He told His disciples. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We are sent to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Jesus says, I have given you the things that I saw and heard from my Father. Now you go and do as I have done. In other words, don't make up your own gospel. Don't put your spin on it. Preach and teach what you have heard from me. 2 Timothy 2, 2. We cannot emphasize too much the importance of listening to the correct message. There are many messages out there that are twisted, they're adulterated. They are men's ideas that they have come up with and put forth. Jesus didn't do that, nor did He command His disciples to do so. Paul exhorts Timothy here, all the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's God's way. That's God's way. I don't want to put you on the spot, but You remember the other day you sent me an email from some preacher? See if you can help me think of what it was. We're not playing game, I've got a mind game here. But anyway, something about Christians have had too much Bible study. What they need now is, what, you remember what it was, but you're like me, you can't remember what it was. That was the gist, right? Too much Bible study. There you go. Well, I kind of agree with the last part. You do need to go out and practice it. But when are you going to have too much Bible study? And I've been there and done that. Or I was told that I did that. You gave us too many Bible studies. Well, I'm sorry. That's all I got. If you don't like Bible studies, stay home. Because that's what you're going to get. And not just me. Doug's worse than I am. And Brother Freestone, my goodness. That's what you get. Because that's what you need. And that's why it's going to enable you to give that to somebody else. You have something to give. A lot of you maybe don't think you have anything to give to somebody else. You do. You have riches untold. You have what other people are desiring and don't know where to find it or even what it is. You've been sent to take that to your neighbor, to your coworker, wherever you can take it, take it. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit those to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And that's always been my joy. And I've told you this before, after having been absent from South America for 10 years, I went back and I was amazed at the depth of some of those people that I taught. They were now teaching, not repeating what I said word for word. That's not what made me so happy. But they had allowed the word to take hold of their lives. And they were expounding the word of God even better than what I could do. Jesus says, as I was sent, so I am sending my disciples. Let's turn to Luke 4, verses 16 through 19. We consider very briefly, and all we've done tonight has been brief, even though it's getting late, but it's still brief. We just briefly consider who Jesus was sent to, basically what his message was. And we're going to end with this. What was Jesus sent to do? First of all, of course, to redeem mankind. That's very true. But what else was he sent to do? And here in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, we have a capsule statement here as to what Jesus was sent to do. As you sent me, so I'm sending them. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me, because he has anointed me." To do what? First of all, to preach the gospel to the poor. Or in other words, to preach the gospel to the needy, those who need the gospel. Who needs the gospel? Everybody needs the gospel. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Now, these words are concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to leave tonight taking these words to yourself. As you sent me, in like manner I have sent them. Jesus was sent to do these things that we have here, and he did them. But there's still work to be done. Put yourself here to preach the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, the spiritually blind especially, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And the last phrase, this is the privilege that you and I have as ambassadors of Christ, having been sent into a world that knows not God, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Our message is not a message of doom. It's not a depressing message. It's a message of joy and of hope. To end, I'm going to read you the words to song, "So Send I You." I'm not going to sing it, but I am going to read the words to you. They're the words that always speak to me. And I believe that they expand on what Jesus meant when he said, as you have sent me, so I am sending them. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken. We live in a world that is totally broken. How many opportunities are there out there for us? Over wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake. If in your time of prayer you don't weep, you need to dig deeper into your heart. Seldom, if ever, in my private prayer do I pray without weeping. Because there are so many things that bring us sadness. And that is the spiritual condition of the world we live in and of God's own people. To bear the burdens of a world aweary, so send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a hungering for the loved and the known, forsaking kin and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resigned, to labor long. That's what a farmer does. Brother Doug spoke about farmers this morning. They're not 9-to-5ers. They're more like 5-to-9ers. Or even earlier. To labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. Take that home with you tonight. That's one of the things that we've been sent to do. To lose our life in his. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Peter was willing to do great things for his Lord and Savior. At the time, he failed miserably, but later on, he did. He tasted of Calvary. You and I don't plan on being literally crucified on a cross as Peter was. But yes, Paul wanted to know and to be made conformable to his death. To know Calvary in its deepest way. Let's stand and worship the Lord in closing. The altars are always open. May the Lord impress upon our hearts more than ever. The last few messages have all been along the same line, not the exact same theme necessarily. I realize that the race that we're running is a marathon. Now, I realize that. And in a marathon, you pace yourself, okay? You pace yourself. But when you see the finish, hallelujah, those marathoners that look like they were going to fall any minute, somehow they have extra strength. And they actually sprint to the end. Jesus is coming. I want to sprint to the end. I want to run as I have never ran before. And I want you to run with me. Draw me, Yeshua might say, and we will run after you. May that be our desire tonight. Let's worship the Lord.